much, Derek. As you said to me before, a very tricky passage to read, and quite a lot of things in there. Could I have the first slide, please, Nicola? Thank you. So the theme of my sermon today is don't get left behind. You may think, well, what's that to do with John 17? Well, there'll be some clues along the way. This chapter gives us a window into the relationship between Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father. And it's a thing of beauty, isn't it? We can see that John, as the beloved disciple, he had the opportunity of kind of overhear Jesus speaking aloud to his Father. But this morning, I'm not so much focusing on this chapter. Sorry, Derek. But as we reach the end of our series of looking at the character of Jesus, this is a brief look back at the whole series. So who is Jesus? Many of you have sat through most of them, if not all of them, and I thank you for your perseverance. And it just reminds me about a time, some of you know, a group of us used to help run the youth group, and the group went off to Alton Towers most years, and the group got bigger and bigger until in the fact we had a coach, and we had a coach full of people, and so off we went to Alton Towers. The day was besmirched with kind of issues. The coach broke down. We got stranded very late in the evening in a service station, and it was a long trip still to come home. And eventually a new coach arrived, and we all clambered aboard. Off we went on the way home thinking, oh yeah, well, we should get home at some point, maybe 3 a.m, whatever, but we all get home. And then somebody came to me and said, my sister's not here. And I thought, okay. So we counted up, and what had happened was the new coach had 4 less seats than the old coach. So there were 4 teenagers who'd been left very happily behind, because they had no idea that they'd been left behind, in the toilets in the service station. So we had to go back, much to the driver's chagrin, go back, pick them up, and then drive off again. He wasn't a happy person. So we all perhaps have a horror of being left behind. We can see this in advertising and the way that advertisers get the message across to us that we're nothing if we don't keep up with things. So that's the glory of Wharton Towers, if you ever want to go there. Three hours from here-ish. There's a film a few years ago that came out called I, Daniel Blake, and that tells of a man who works as a self-employed carpenter, has a heart attack, and then finds himself falling out of the world he has always lived into a new existence of unemployment and all that comes with it. In effect, he was left behind. I was discussing with somebody a few days ago about the necessity of suffering to grow as a Christian, and she made a very good point that we can't expect to escape suffering when Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, experienced immense suffering. The Christian faith does not consist of hiding from these realities and of seeing Jesus only as healer and not as the one who will be waiting to take us through the journey of death and into new life. Being a Christian should do the opposite to that, in fact. It should give us the strength to face up to the horrors of our world. We look around and we see such horrific things going on. In areas of this present-day world, there have been believers crucified for their faith. Jesus fully opened himself to the pain and suffering around him in first-century Galilee. Overcrowded, high infant mortality, mental and physical illness and disability rampant, life expectancy, perhaps most in the 40s, spiritually dark following the legalism of the Pharisees, living in an occupied country, crucifixions and routine killings. I was watching a video clip this morning of John Lennox talking to Jay John. You may know those two people. And Jay John asked about the problem of suffering. And it is a big problem for us as Christians to talk to others, to console somebody who's going through a lot of pain. But as John Lennox said, we have a Christ who has suffered alongside us. We have a Saviour who knows what it is to suffer. So I remember, you know how you have snapshots in your life? They're not really significant, but they just remind you and go with you in further years in life. So some years ago, I was driving home in Bradford and Avon. I dropped Fee at work, and I turned into the estate where we lived when we were first there, and I noticed a woman walking towards me. And as she walked, she was turning and she was waving at somebody that I couldn't quite see. But as I drove round, I could see that there was the front entrance of a care home, and somebody was in a wheelchair, and they were waving wildly at this woman as she left. So whether the woman was related or worked at this place, I don't know. But it emphasised to me that this person could leave the home. She was walking away. She had things to do, probably a busy life, whilst the person in a wheelchair may have been completely dependent on another person to push them somewhere. They had been left behind. Now, I'm not criticising the woman. She already had a clear and close relationship with the wheelchair user. But on reflection, I was brought to recognise that our greatest fear as humans is not death nor dying. For most of us, it's that fear of being left behind. Maybe fears that begin in childhood, being left by our parents somewhere. Fee will tell you a story about being left on the beach and going down to the sea and then coming back into a different place and thinking that her parents had left her, and big panic about where would she find her parents. Maybe you were the last to be chosen for the football team. We were looking at sports balls earlier on. To be left behind in life, for instance, maybe if you're single, that awful term that you've been left on the shelf, that appalling phrase when all our friends had been married, still childless when everyone around us is producing children. Maybe we're disabled like that wheelchair user, so we can't participate. Maybe we're encountering mental health issues, so we feel removed from a time of happiness and we struggle to feel attached emotionally with anyone. Maybe you have children with a disability. Or maybe we're elderly. Maybe we have to give up things like our cars. We can't walk to the bus stop. We're stuck. I know those who help or have helped at Sunbeams on a Wednesday recognise the urgency in some mums with small children, that need for social contact, that thirst for adult conversation. Although for some, the thirst is for caffeine too. And we see that in some who attend other social events too, that desire to just be with other people, perhaps particularly emphasised in COVID, that hunger to just be amongst other people. So you may be thinking, well, this isn't much of a hearty message. Jesus came to bring joy, didn't he? So what we see in the life of Jesus is firstly his embrace, his conscious heading for the left behind, the leper, the woman who was the issue with blood, which made her permanently unclean, the woman at the well who had to collect water at different times than the others in the town as she was considered an outcast, the young children who were regarded as unimportant, the childless women. We have an example in the story of the blind beggar recorded by Luke. Remember, Luke was a doctor. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd go by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And then he seized his opportunity. He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus had time for individuals. Jesus had time for those who'd been left behind. So in this story we read the man was told off by the people around him for having temerity to call out to Jesus. "Be quiet," they yelled at him. We read, however, that Jesus stopped He invited the man to come to him, spoke to him, and then healed him, made him whole. All these were considered by society at the time as being left out of the loop. But Jesus turned towards them. He considered them more important than those who had their lives sorted out, who were busy, employed, parents of happy, well-balanced children. And remember that even Jesus himself was born as an outsider, born to a couple who had been rejected, no place for them in the hostelries. Even when Mary was clearly due at any minute, surely in today's world we wouldn't turn away such somebody like Mary. An outsider because Jesus was considered illegitimate. 3 years of ministry when he had no place to call home, no employment, no wife, no children. Jesus became one of the left behind for all those who consider themselves left behind. Jesus became one of the left behind for all those who consider themselves left behind. His empathy came out of his own experience. So those who decree that all a suffering Christian needs to do is to have enough faith to be healed haven't experienced chronic suffering for themselves. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Remind yourself that in Jesus' life, perhaps quite early in his teenage life, that his dad, Joseph, had died, and then he had to take over the family business. We cannot truly help those who suffer if we reach down to them. I remember at my previous church, a woman who had a lot of struggles with mental health in her life came one morning, and the first person she greeted and hugged was another woman who'd struggled a lot with cancer and had a stem cell transplant and everything. So quite radical treatment. But that sense of oneness, that sense of equality. If we reach down to people, it must be a cross on a level, suffering with them. Christmas is coming. How many days is it to Christmas? Oh, that's good news. None of you know. So we haven't got that long to Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. Please ask yourself again, why did Jesus come? So secondly, he came to make it right, to bring a sure hope for those around you who are suffering. So for us, when people say, why is it that I'm ill? Why is it that I feel so much pain? Why is it with me with cancer? Why is it me with the thoughts of killing myself? Why me with the chronic suffering? Why me with this or that? Who else can have experienced the pain I'm feeling? The answer is Jesus. He alone did not remain aloof, but not only did he come, but he provided hope. So recently we had a great holiday in Spain, and one thing I learnt was that the word hope in Spanish means to wait for. So when you have hope, you wait for something expectantly. It is coming, it is certain. We wait at Christmastide for the day when we celebrate Jesus' birth. And we wait eagerly for the transformation of everything when Christ comes for a second time. It's not a false hope. So for us, we may really struggle in this life. Some people have a lifetime of struggle, of issues, of pain, but yet they have hope because of what Jesus did. We cannot tell, but we know that the hope we have in Christ can be expressed as assurance. We have certain hope. Tomorrow I take a funeral, and for me that is part of the good part of the funeral. We celebrate the person's life, we mourn for the fact that they've died, but we also commit to Jesus, them, for a good future, a good hope, a perfect life full of freedom from suffering. So this is not a true end, not a full stop, but bringing in a new beginning, a glorious rebirth. So we have the message that Christ's birth is one of glorious, assured hope for all who will embrace him. Jesus came to save every person in the world. Isn't that amazing? Not just specific people, but everybody. So often the embracing of Jesus comes out of pain, suffering, and brokenness. So Jesus suffers with us. Jesus embraced the brokenness of his life to be able to empathize with those who are broken themselves. More than this, he brings in a solid, rational hope for us now and for all our living and dying. Jesus, the Son of God, is born, is alive today. Amen.